Brother Sam Deliberto will deliver the word of exhortation this morning, and he has asked us to read Psalm chapter 84. And the title of his words today are Watching and Waiting. Psalm chapter 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Once again, Brother Sam's exhortation is titled Watching and Waiting. Brother Sam?
Good morning. Certainly good to be here this morning. Today we're going to talk about, and really where my comments came from, is the kind of general, discontent people are experiencing right now. And maybe it's just an election year, maybe the certain fundamental basics of life are kind of being threatened. But if you notice, movies that are coming out, articles on the news, everybody's prepping for something. They're prepping for doomsday. They're prepping for the end of the world. If you didn't see in the past a couple articles from the Sentinel, you notice that 1 in 7 people have their concealed weapons permit in the state of Florida. That means 1 in 7 individuals are actively carrying a gun outside of this building right now. It's like people are genuinely afraid for their lives. Like, the justice system has failed them. We've got billions and billions of dollars in debt. They eventually feel that maybe Social Security benefits, things like that, are not going to exist. There's even this one show on the Discovery Channel, and I'm afraid I watch it, but there's individuals that really feel that there's going to be a nuclear, you know, invasion, either from China or Russia. So they're literally prepping, they're storing goods, they're buying shipping containers, burying them in the ground, and buying armament, they're buying food, they're ready for, you know, the cataclysmic event of World War III, you know, to basically come on. Well, to some degree, they do have it right, because we're also looking for a change in society, but we actually have a more positive spin on that, right? We have the hope of salvation from the kingdom, so we are actively waiting and watching for Jesus to come back, right? Well, I think we can glean definitely some lessons from individuals that have watched, especially individuals that are responsible for watching over the children of Israel. You know, we live kind of today in a society where we lock our doors, we're generally safe. We don't have nations invading us or people coming in and going to take and plunder, you know, our goods, technically. But one day, that did happen in the past. That did happen. So today I'd like to actually look at some characteristics of watching and waiting. Look at the job of even a watchman and see how it's incorporated specifically into our walk. What things can we glean from that? And what does Jesus caution about these end times? You know, should we be storing, you know, should we be building the ark ready for the flood? Is that what we should be, you know, worried with our time or occupying our time? So back in the day, these watch guards or soldiers, if you will, were responsible to put their life on the line for others. You know, they acted really as true servants of the people. All day long, they looked at God's creation. How beautiful is that? They admired the valleys, the plains, the herds of animals, forests, lakes. In the darkness of the sky, they admired the moon and the stars. I particularly like watching, as you get this in Florida a lot, the rainstorms come in and really feel how small you are compared to the beauty and nature that God provided, seeing those big rolling. I wish I could have saw the front last night. I was woken up by the bright flash of lightning at about 2 o'clock in the morning, but I really enjoy watching and feeling the humidity kind of go away, and it gets really cold all of a sudden, and boy, it puts like chills down your spine because you really realize how big you generally are in the grand scheme of things. So what was the goal of a watchman, this individual? Turn to Isaiah 21:6. Simple. His mission statement, if you will. What was this watchman person's duty? For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth. And really, a day in the life of a watchman was a 24-hour job. These individuals were constantly on call, 24 hours a day. They had to remain vigilant day and night. And what was the one thing this watchman relied on? His vision, his sight, to see and to tell if danger was near, whether it was friend or foe. He had to have excellent perception in order to judge a situation correctly. Usually these watchmen were also equipped with weaponry. Now, they didn't have modern machine guns or anything like that, but they did a pretty good job with a bow. And it'd be a real lousy feeling if you shot your own friend coming in, not realizing who's coming to the gates, right? So these individuals had to know when things were quiet, and then they had to know when things just felt too quiet. Too quiet. So where were these individuals stationed? Turn to 2 Kings 9:17. There stood a watchman on the tower in Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu. He was on the tower. And he said, I see a company. And Joram said, take a horseman and send to meet him, and let him say, is it peace? How about on the walls? Were these individuals stationed there? Turn to Isaiah 62:6. I've set a watchman upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. And these individuals also were known to be in the streets. Turn over to Psalms 127, verse 1. A song of decrees in Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh, but in vain. So not only were these individuals stationed outside for outside protection, but they also watched from within, make sure the people were stable. You could almost relate these individuals almost like to our modern-day policemen, almost being feared, if you will. A police officer passes you on the road. Instantly, you look down at your speed because you're conditioned that, oh, am I speeding or am I not? You know, I'm instantly conditioned to do that just because I don't want a speeding ticket. I want my insurance rates to rise up. So how about, let's switch gears a little bit here. What about their hours of operation? If you looked at the punch card of this one of these individuals, you can see that in the morning, there's different watches throughout the day. There's a morning watch, middle watch, an evening watch, and several different watches throughout the night. Some pretty big feats in the Bible, like Exodus 14:27, when the Lord looked through the pillar of the fire at the Egyptians and troubled them by taking off their chariot wheels. That all happened in the morning watch. Gideon blew his trumpets and broke the pitchers with his 300 men to conquer the innumerable amount of Midianites, found in Judges 7:19. That happened during the middle watch. So their time clock would definitely show they were relieved by different terms. Turn to Nehemiah 7:3. Said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot, and while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches in the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. So not only do we have the responsibility of each other and the responsibility of looking outward and inwardly, it is a 24-hour job. 24-hour job. And we'll relate some of these things to walk a little later. But most importantly, what was the duty or responsibilities of this individual? Turn to 2 Samuel 18, starting at verse 24. In the times of danger, these individuals were the most important people. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to one to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. The watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, "If he be alone, there is a tiding in his mouth." And he came apace and drew near, and the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, "Behold, another man running alone." And the king said, "He also bringeth tidings." And the watchman said, "Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaas, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man, and cometh with good tidings." So in the time of danger, you didn't know if they didn't have binoculars or anything back then, that, you know, high-powered scopes or anything like that. You had to put the person with the sharpest eyesight up on these towers. They watched for other nations rising around them for fear of being attacked all the time. And unfortunately, these watchmen were usually the first people to get killed. It's the first example in any type of war movie. You kill those individuals that would be lurking or looking to see if they saw the approaching armies come on scene before they attacked. And we find in Jeremiah that watchmen increased, the number of individuals increased when there were times of trouble. Jeremiah 51:12. So when things got tense and the times around them got elevated, the stress level elevated, there was a responsibility of more individuals to be watchmen. "Set up the standard upon thy walls of Babylon, make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon." So a big characteristic of this individual was to warn of attackers or strangers coming into the city. But how did they do that? They sounded an alarm. They sounded an alarm. Turn over to Ezekiel 33. Their main responsibility was to tell everyone else that someone threatening was coming into their midst and that they were going to do harm to them. That was their responsibility. It's a lot of verse turning, but I wanted to have a lot of scripture here. Ezekiel 33, starting at verse 2. "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel." Think about that responsibility. "Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood that I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, and thou hast delivered thy soul. So definitely there's a great responsibility here, even from a person to person, a brother to brother, a brother to sister, to watch one another, to straighten out each other's path for the ultimate goal of obtaining the kingdom. We have a responsibility, a great responsibility for protecting others. It's the lesson we should definitely glean here is to watch out for one another, but it's especially those who are going through hard times, because that's when individuals need you the most. And really, Jesus cautions or gives a word of note here that we should definitely take a look at. We'll look at two different scriptures here about warning and what to watch for. Turn over to Matthew 24, verses 45 through 51. And we know the sign of the times is really likened to Noah's day, where even the very thought of God wasn't in anyone's mind. And then the flood came and took them away. And we know that Noah was that preacher of warning. He was building a boat, basically, in the middle of nowhere to use. Matthew 24:45, starting at 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with drunken, the Lord, that servant, shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in the hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice here that evil servant said in his heart. He lost the battle. He convinced himself that the Lord delayed his coming. So, I'm going to take out my aggressions my own way. The Greek word for heart there is thought or feeling. And really, if we're looking for the answer here from what Jesus is trying to tell us, turn over to Luke. Three simple verses in Luke 21, 34 through 36. And take heed for yourselves, lest at any time in your hearts be overcharged with suffiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. That overcharge there means burdened, or has that burden. Suffiting there is to overindulge. Imagine that. The cares of this life is also brought on the same level as drunkenness. You never think of those two being the same equal, but yet having that burden or not caring for what you should be caring for is on the same level as drunkenness? Wow. I mean, that really paints the picture. So if you want to start switching gears here to looking at walk, how is our walk affected by watching? Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's just something that we do and really, we shouldn't really take concern for it. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5 through 6. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. Watching events of the world today constantly reminds us of the hope that we share. Remember the purpose, the ultimate purpose of a chosen people. God's chosen people, the Jews, they were put on the earth for a sign. They still exist today. So when you hear about wars and rumors of war and the attention of the news into the Middle East, yeah, it kind of gives you that frightening feeling, but it's also an encouragement that, wow, we are on the brink of Jesus' return. It's very easy to fall away from God's truth with that false comfort that the world might has to offer. Everything's taken care of, you know. But it's hard to fall away when you're close with God. So maybe I'll challenge you this. Make it hard for yourself. Make it hard for yourself to fall away if you're close with God. But when you're far away from Him, it's pretty easy to lose track. A couple other elements in our life we should certainly be watchful in. In Ephesians 6:18, we talked a little bit about prayer and communication in our Sunday school class this morning. And here's a pretty good fitting verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Perseverance, watching. How about with thanksgiving? Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Is watching related to faith? How about 1 Corinthians 16:13 and 14? Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. How about sobriety? We mentioned that before. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, we looked at this. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. What does the Proverbs say about this? Proverbs 8:32 through 36. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, ye children, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Wow, all that they that hate me love death. Do we want to love life, or do we want to love death? And finally, 2 Timothy 4:5, which would be our last reading. 2 Timothy 4:5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. So we could definitely see how watching is not only a daily task, but it's completely incorporated in our everyday elements of walk. And ultimately, if you look at prayer, thanksgiving, faith, sobriety, watching in all times, these are all elements of a proper state of mind. So the believer has to have a proper characteristic, or multiple characteristics that build his state of mind. And problems are inevitable, but the challenge is that we have to stay focused on our goal. Just like how important sight is to a watchman on the tower. So today we looked at some characteristics of a watchman. We saw how watching could be incorporated in our walk, and we looked at a little cautionary information as to what our Lord and Master gives us to waiting for His return. So I say, brothers and sisters, watch. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. There's a phrase that you use there towards the end that I think is one that really exemplifies what we are called on to do, and that is building a state of mind, changing the mind of the flesh, embracing the mind of the spirit, and that, of course, encapsulates that watching and that maintaining until His return. So, thank you. We'll enter into our memorial service by singing together hymn number 153. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the memory adored, and show the death of our dear Lord until He come. Hymn number 153. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. The atonement for sin ratified by Christ's work and sacrifice is truly the central part of Yahweh's plan in which we place our faith and our hope. Christ was the example by which we are shown that through the deity's mercy, it is indeed possible for man to overcome the curse and be reconciled to the Father. Through His obedience and His sacrifice, Christ demonstrated that when one burdened by sin nature chooses to subjugate themselves to the will of the Father, Yahweh will reward. God prepared this plan in the earth immediately following the disobedience, beginning with the coverings in the garden, and of course continuing to be explained and taught through sacrifice under the law of Moses in preparation for the arrival of the Messiah. These things were given by God to provide a preparation of mind so that those to whom the Messiah was sent might recognize Him upon His arrival and understand the opportunity for reconciliation for the race of Adam. When we gather to partake of the memorials, we commemorate the obedience and the sacrifice of Christ, His desire to obey the will of His Father in heaven and to reject the nature with which He was born. Christ indeed was tempted in all points, like as we are, and to a greater extreme, to be sure. Of course, Christ was the literal Son of God, and certainly would have possessed enhanced capabilities for understanding and expounding upon Scripture, as His words and His actions throughout His life demonstrate. And at the time of His temptation and death, Christ possessed the Holy Spirit without measure, giving Him the ability to, with a thought, act out any whim. But never was that ability used in inappropriate fashion. Never did His mind deviate from a consistent and constant focus upon the will of His Father. There is but one means of reconciliation to God, and Christ is that perfect example: total, loving obedience. At all the times where Christ faced His greatest trials, He did indeed have the power to satisfy the flesh. And yet, so dedicated to His obedience to His Father, He never gave in to those urges. So carefully focused was His mind on the plan that He was to execute in the earth. None of us have faced one-tenth of the challenge of Christ, and yet we find ourselves failing so much more often. The punishment for sin is death, and so as a representative of the fallen race of Adam, Christ's blood was willingly shed to atone for sin nature, and His flesh crucified on the cross that the plan of God might be fulfilled and that man might be reconciled again. When we gather to remember these things, we take it into our minds to consider what has been accomplished for us, what is yet to come, and our role within those activities. We pray that we might help one another to understand and fully appreciate the value of what has been done on our behalf in the atonement, and that we might encourage one another to manifest the character and spirit of Christ in what we do and say. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, starting at verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. We know and recognize through many studies that we have had, most recently the study of Isaiah, that there will, Ezekiel, that there will indeed be in the kingdom age sacrifice carried out on behalf of the mortals that live at that time. It will continue. Why are we told in verse 24 that this man is part of an unchangeable priesthood? It is one that is forever committed to accomplish that thing which it set out to do, the reconciliation of man. There will come a time when Christ will leave his role of that intermediary advocate on our behalf and take upon the role of king ruling over the earth from Jerusalem. We'll turn, please, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And read with me, please, verses 23 and 24. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Brother James Mowbear, would you come up and offer thanksgiving for the bread? Verse 25 and 26 of the same chapter we read, And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Brother Sid, would you offer thanksgiving for the wine? In our morning Sunday school class, we've been considering the final hours of Christ's life. Just prior to what the account that we've just read here, in, as Paul recorded it in Corinthians. And in this time, we see Christ preparing for the meal, washing of the feet, and the provision of the memorial service. He taught them what to do, and he taught them how to remember him. And in both was a very clear and distinct message. Understand what has been done, what is being done, and what will be done on your behalf. And in these things were the apostles to take comfort, as are we. We'll bring our service to a close by singing hymn number 113, after which I'd like to call on Brother Dave Pirtle to offer a closing prayer. Watchmen, tell us of the night, what its signs of promise are. Traveler, o'er yon mountain's height, see that glory beaming star. Watchman, does its beauteous ray aught of hope or joy foretell? Traveler, yes, it brings the day, the promised day of Israel. Hymn number 113. Reminder, brothers and sisters, classes tonight at 6 p.m., and we have some cards up here at the front. Thank you.